You're listening to the UCB Longform Conversations podcast, in-depth conversations with performers and teachers from the best alternative comedy theater on the planet. In today's episode, the podcast will take a break from our normal interview format, instead presenting a palate cleanser, where UCB teachers and staff present official UCB news and updates, focus on a specific element of longform improv, and offer experimental one-off episodes. The opinions expressed in this episode are those of the comedians talking and don't necessarily reflect the opinions of UCB Theater or Training Center.
Warning. What you're about to hear is an extremely nerdy conversation about long-form improv comedy.
Hello, welcome to a palate cleanser episode of Long-Form Conversations. A palate cleanser is an episode where you talk about something specific. So the specific thing that we're going to talk about today is New York improvisers who have moved to Los Angeles. We're talking UCB New York to UCB Los Angeles, not all the other improvisers from New York. I'm Beth Appel. I lived in New York and now I live in Los Angeles. We have with us Sean Distin.
I lived in New York and now I live in Los Angeles.
Okay. Let's see what happens next. We have Pam Murphy and Sarah Claspel.
I lived in New York and then I live in Los Angeles.
Wow.
All right. We've all passed the first test of just meeting the bare minimum requirement of being on this episode of Long Form Conversations. Great. So I figured that we would start out with just like really brief background, just so we know. I tried to assemble sort of a crew of people who moved out at varying times and maybe had different kinds of experiences. So Pam, do you want to start? We'll go chronologically. When did you arrive on the scene?
Taking classes in 2003, kind of like on and off. And then I was on a Herald team in 2005.
And then how long were you in New York? When did you move to LA?
I moved to LA in 2011.
Oh, wow. I thought it was later than that.
Later? Was it 2012? No, it was 2011.
Okay, cool.
That I moved. You mean earlier or more recently?
I thought it was
older?
Earlier. Older.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, 2011.
I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
It'll be 6 years on Labor Day.
Great.
Yeah. Wow.
Nice.
Cool. And then I started about a year after you in New York, 2004.
Oh.
Yeah. But I was in college, so it was also sort of on and off. Mm. And then, And then it took you 2 years to get on Herald Night in New York. It took me a mere 6 years. Just hopped right on Herald Night 2010. And then I moved here 3.5 years ago in October of 2013.
Oh.
Yes.
Nice.
Sarah?
I started taking classes in 2006, UCB New York. I became an intern and I just blazed through a million classes. That wasn't the question. I got on Herald Night in 2010, so it took me 4 years. I'm 2 years better than Beth. And then I moved to LA at the very end of 2011, beginning of 2012.
All right. So you and Pam have been here around the same amount of time.
Mm.
Sean, LA baby.
I'm the baby. I started in 2008 in New York, and I got on Herald Night in 2011, and then was cut from Herald Night. And then got myself back into the system sometime around 2015, maybe? I don't remember exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But moved to L.A. last year, coming up May 7th, 2016. So coming up on a year, so I've just got here.
Nice.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. Right. Well, we're so happy that you live here.
Me too.
You moved here. I think you're the only one of us who moved here with a job. Is
yes.
that true?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so you moved here. Why did you move to LA?
To work on Playing House with Anthony King, former artistic director of UCB.
Yes.
Is he the one that kicked you off Herald Night?
No.
Oh.
No.
He kicked me and Sarah off Herald Night.
He did?
Yeah. He did. I did his podcast, Don't Get Me Started, and he didn't remember. He was like, no, that was Nate Dirt. And I was like, I respect you and I will never argue with you, but I'm certain that I would know.
No.
But he's the best.
Cool. Would you have moved here otherwise?
Maybe, but probably would have taken a couple years. I think, like, when you're in New York, you're kind of like, all right, I got to get all my shit together before I move to LA. And you never really get all your shit together, I think. I don't know.
Oh, I didn't think that.
Why did you move? You were like, my shit's not together here, maybe in LA.
When I had a solo show, and then I came out here to visit, and I did my solo show out here.
The C word.
Yeah, the C word. Real hit.
Great show.
It was a real hit. It was one of the best.
Thanks. I thought so. So when I came out here to do it, my friend, you know, people were like, that was great or whatever. And my friends were like, you got to move out here. You got to. You just got to move out here. You have to, you know. And so I was like, okay. So I put my house on the market in the worst possible time to sell a house. And lost a bunch of money so I could move out here. And then when I got here, everybody was like, oh, you moved here. It was like not as big a deal as I had thought it was. You know, it was just like, I don't know. It was just different.
Who of your friends had already moved here? Who were the people that were like cheerleading moving to LA when you did your show out here?
Okay, I don't want to name names. but I will say that a lot of my friends from my era kind of had moved out here. Like, Adam Pally, Ben Schwartz, Susanna, Chris Kula, they were already out here.
And you knew them? Were you on teams with them? Were you in classes with them?
Yes, like Pally and Susanna and I were on our first Herald team together.
Okay.
And yeah, like I knew them from that.
Had you seen them move and you were like,
I saw that. I wasn't really like, I didn't really think about it. I have a brother who lives here, too, who's lived here since I was, like, 8 years old. So I used to come here and visit every year.
Oh.
So it was, like, I kind of had a different connection because I did have family here. But, like, I wasn't like, I want to move. You know, I wasn't super into I want to move. But when I came here to visit, everybody who I talked to was like, you have to, there's so much work here. You, like, have to move here if you want to have a career.
Yeah. Sure. Well, let's address the elephant in the room. You owned a house?
I did.
I did.
Yeah, in Jersey City.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Cool.
Because I worked in the mortgage business. I was, like, I, like, had a job, was, like, a regular person when I started taking class. Was, like, a regular civilian.
Sure.
What a world.
When I started taking classes, because I was just, like, taking classes for fun. Like,
oh,
I wasn't
that's
like,
great.
I'm going to be an actor. I was just like, oh, like, what is this? And
is that for real? You had, like, had you acted before? Because you are a very, very good actor.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Guys, what do you think?
Gotta agree.
Good.
100%. Would think you had some sort of theater background.
Yeah.
No, I didn't. I didn't go to school for it. I didn't, like, do it in high school or anything like that.
That's
I wasn't,
wild.
Like, in plays or anything. It was all from UCB.
Oh, wow.
It was all my UCB training.
Neither was I, and I also am a great actor.
Oh, wow.
Everyone knows I'm just talked
about how you hate acting.
I mean, you're also a great actor. I mean, UCB, not to, you know, be the most company man in the world, but it is really good acting training.
Okay, yeah. How am I now? Am I a good
great
actor?
You're
a great actor.
You're an amazing.
Okay. Amazing
you're an amazing actor.
Actor.
This is great, you guys.
I'm a good actor, too. Okay. my senior thesis was playing Masha and the Seagull. Thank you so much.
Ooh.
Yes, I'm a brilliant dramatic actor. No, I could never do it now.
Can I ask you a question, Beth? When
yes.
you were going through college, were you thinking, like, I'm going to end up in New York in the theater world, or am I going to end up in L.A.? Like, what was your thought?
Yeah, I wanted to be a musical theater actor in New York City. And then I took a class at UCB, and then I was
that
like...
That changed.
Yeah, during college. And then I had to muddle through a senior year of college still, like, just doing regular theater. That's when I did The Seagull. I was like, I guess this is how I have to finish college. What a stupid waste of time. It was a star turn for me, for sure, that
oh,
role.
Very nice.
But 180
immediate.
Changed. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I did a couple theater-related things in New York when I moved there, and I was like, I hate this.
Mm-hmm. But it wasn't like immediate change, oh, I'll end up in L.A. It was just, I'm going to do UCB in New York. When did L.A. become on your radar, basically?
Well, for you know what? When I was in college, I met Lisa Kudrow, a big brag, and I asked her where I should live to do comedy, and she said L.A., and then I was like, ooh, I wish she had said New York, because that's where I'm definitely moving. Because I went to school near New York, so everyone just moves right there. And then, but I had sort of had L.A. in my brain. And then I have, like, the number one worst story for moving to L.A., which is that my boyfriend got a job here. and then he got a job in New York and moved back to New York after I moved here, and then we broke up. It's, like, the least cool story.
But it ended up working out so well.
I had wanted to move to L.A., but sort of stayed in New York, again, because my boyfriend didn't want to move to L.A. Right, what a loser I am. But it turned out great, and, so that was my main reason. I also sort of felt like I'd like done Herald, I had done Maud in New York, I had been cut from both, I had been put back on both, I had been sort of through the ringer, I'd been teaching for a few years, and I felt like I had sort of done it.
Yeah, when I eventually moved, even when it was sort of forced on me, looking back, I was always like, I kind of did all the stuff I could have done in New York.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. And then I also had a job as a paralegal for 6.5, 7 years. And I was like, I will never leave this job if I don't leave New York entirely. Because it was like a cool job. I loved my boss. Right. It made enough money to live in New York City. And I was like, should I just keep doing this till I'm a divorce lawyer? Or should I move to L.A. and quit this job? Sarah, why did you move to L.A.?
I have family in Northern California, so it was not a – and I went to school in San Luis Obispo, Cal Poly. I had a bunch of friends here. But I knew I was when I started dating a guy who lived in L.A.
You loser!
Not the reason I moved here.
Yeah. Wow.
The whole time
it
I
comes
was like,
out.
I'm not moving here because of you. I'm moving here because of me. And I stand by it. When we had started dating, I was like, I will move to L.A. within the next 3 years for me. I had like already been planning on it. I'd already been thinking about it. And then we started dating, and then I got on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and I won $16,000, and I was like, I guess I have money. I might as well move to L.A.
Oh, yeah.
And you've never made a single dollar. You've been living for the last 6 years off of that.
Oh, my God. I have six houses. I've got
how much of that went to taxes? Half of it?
A bunch. Yeah. I have a dumb tax story with my tax guy. I like brought him the tax information. He's like, cool, actually, you're getting a bunch of money back. And I was like, that's crazy. Cool. He had actually just not put in the right information. So 2 years later, I got a letter that was like, hey, you owe a few $1,000s. And I was like, tax guy, you actually covered this. And he's like, whoops.
Did he pay it?
No.
That's not how that works.
No.
It's not how. He refunded.
You would be the worst tax guy, Sean. You'd be like, I guess I'll pay it.
My fault.
I paid it back. But but because I thought I was getting a bunch of money back, it made me I bought an extra house in L.A., guys. I have 100 houses.
Wow.
But
only one of them's extra.
Yeah, only 99 one of
them. Were
I was like planning on this, and I was like, might as well get one extra. I
think that's one of those things in New York where, like, you get maybe you book a commercial or something and you get a little bit of money.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, do I go on a trip or do I move to L.A.? Like, I think I went on that. I think I went through that a couple times and I always just went on a trip. And
oh,
I just kind of
that's interesting.
Look back thinking, like, oh, I wish I had just maybe spent that money on moving to L.A.
Yeah.
So I would have gone on, it would have felt like a trip. In its own right, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Sure. It does, to me, feel like still a vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Feels great.
People in New York are going to hate this. We're just like, you know, it's great in
Honestly,
L.A.
Honestly, the way I feel is like, if you don't want to come here, don't come here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We don't need your negative ass.
Shots fired. New
York
fired.
No, if you love New York, stay in New York. That is great. I love New York. It's the best. I love L.A. I think it's better for me right now, but I'm so glad I lived in New York.
Mm-hmm.
I truly hate when people come live in L.A. and they're like, ugh, what, you know, it's better in New York. You know what's better about New York? You can stay up and you can do this. And mm-hmm. And I'm like, honestly, I don't care to talk to you.
Yeah.
Let's get into that. Like, what's the right way to move to L.A. and what's the wrong way to move to L.A.?
I would say one wrong way in my mind, just being very judgmental, is don't move here without a car.
I agree.
Right?
Well,
you don't think so?
You don't need it right away.
I know people who Uber all the time, so it depends. But I feel like if you are like, I have to go on an audition in Santa Monica, you should probably lease a car. It's cheap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's cheap. It's like the money that you would have spent on your Metro card.
I Ubered for like a few months when I was here. And mm-hmm. I was going to work every morning, coming like in rush hour kind of. And it was not that expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And it was good for like not having to have the stress of also learning LA and like,
sure,
you mm-hmm. know. But once I got
easier.
A car, yeah,
it's
once
easier.
I got a car, though, everything changed.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I guess the idea is like, don't move here without a car and be like, LA is impossible to get around.
Because it's like, get a car.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can need, move here without a car.
It's
but,
like the suburbs. Yeah. You need yeah. to have a car. Yeah. Like there is public transportation, but it's like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. In New York, you have independence because the public transportation is so good. You can do anything. You can go anywhere. Mm.
The public transportation in New York is like so good.
Oh my God. That's truly like one of the number one, maybe the number one thing I miss about New York.
Yeah.
Is public transportation.
Good food and God, that public transportation is great.
I really like driving a bit over being on the subway for whatever reason. I just think there's a much more freedom and like,
yeah.
I don't know. I love driving. I miss
it. In the car.
Yeah, no one can see you crying.
Exactly. You leave an audition, you need to cry it out.
Mm-hmm. I cry in my car a lot. But I cried on the subway a lot, too.
Yeah, but everybody yeah. was a witness to yeah. it on yeah. the subway. You yeah. like couldn't, you know, you couldn't just be...
I feel like I don't cry in my car now because I didn't like crying on the subway.
So you trained yourself
I got
to not
hard.
Do it.
I got hard and tough.
You got hard on the subway.
I got hard
that's
on the subway.
But I even think, like, if that's what's stopping you from moving to LA, not having a car, I would say that's even not a great excuse. Like, you can for sure live here without a car.
And you can easily get a car.
And you can very easily get one.
They're literally everywhere.
Everywhere.
All the people are trying
Look
to get
outside,
rid of them.
There's a car.
People are constantly
everywhere.
Trying to get rid of them.
But if you move to LA without a car, you cannot be the friend who's always like, can you pick me up? Because
yeah. No, we can't. That's a pain in the ass. Yeah. We can't. Get no one can. No one
there.
Will. No mm. one will. No one's gonna.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would
They're
say,
not being dicks.
I would say the number one thing about moving to LA is just like, enjoy the ride, baby.
Yeah. Oh my God, you're so LA.
Only because like, I think you're touching on it a little bit, Sarah. Like people come here with that negative attitude sometimes. And I don't even mind hearing it. I don't even care. But I just know that that is the attitude that leads to not being successful.
Yes.
Like when you're out here being super negative. Like
I can attest to that.
Was that your personal experience? Oh, Pam's crying.
She's running
like,
into
she's
her car.
Laughing, but she's crying.
She's running to her car. It's gone.
Yeah. I will say, I missed New York.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mm-hmm. missed New York. I did like New York better. I was comparing it. And I probably was like, this place sucks. Like, I think I was negative about it, but it took me, but I feel like I was like homesick. It's kind of hard to assimilate. All your friends have like their lives already.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're not just like
you're
going to hang
up.
Out.
Yeah. You're
you don't like going to hang out like at the theater. You know what I mean?
No.
Like
yeah.
people don't really yeah. do that. And this like Sunset wasn't open. So you didn't really have a place to hang out. It was like people did their shows.
You have to work harder to see your friends. I feel
yeah.
like.
Yeah.
No,
yes.
You're not going to get that last minute hang in.
Yeah.
Like let's hang out tonight.
Because
right.
people in New York, I feel like, have their day jobs. And then they're like, well, I have a show at night. Let's everybody meet at McManus.
Yeah, and you're
yeah.
out all
you're
night.
Not
you're
go
out
home
at night.
And,
you're
yeah.
just out.
You don't have to make totally. Plans to run into people at night. You just go to the places they are mm-hmm. and they're
yeah.
there.
Yeah, yeah, you specifically have to make plans to hang out with your friends. And if you don't, it's like lonely. It gets
yeah.
lonely.
Yeah.
You can get like stuck just like in your apartment.
But
being,
I think
like,
that's the cycle of like, this place sucks. I'm not going to hang out. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
it all sort of compounds, I think.
Right. Well, so then did that change for you at some point?
Well, it changed because I was like, I can't do this. Like, I can't live like this. And I think like, I don't know. And maybe, you know, what you think, Sarah, too, is that like, it was different. Like nobody, it wasn't like you were the artistic director or Mike was. It was like Neil.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
he didn't know who I was. Like he
right.
didn't know me from anybody. And a lot of the people that I did know who lived here, who were like staples of the theater. Like, I probably wasn't the best improviser 5 years ago. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. When I knew them, kind of.
Because I moved here around the same time. Yeah, it was same, like...
It's kind of hard. It's like, yeah. It was like you had to... It wasn't like your history came with you. Yeah. It was like I had to work hard to try and, like, bust in to have a place at the theater here. And it was like, I guess I would kind of sit in sometimes, you know, like with, you know, the Smokes or Death by Rue or whatever. And then I was just like, I wrote a new solo show. I was like, I have to do something, you know, like I auditioned for Maude. I got on a Maude team. I auditioned for Harold. I did not get on a Harold team.
I think that's part of what I mean by like, just enjoy the, like, I think that's a lot of people's fear in New York is like, oh, I've worked so hard in New York. Now I'm moving to LA and I have to like start over. And it's like, yeah, you might have to, but just like, if you can just enjoy that process, mm-hmm. it'll be so,
so much
easier.
Better having to do that.
Yeah.
Because when I, yeah, when Pam and I moved out, there weren't a lot of New York people out here. Now you can move out and like, there are people who don't need to make new LA friends.
Right.
Which I feel like is also a mistake. I feel like yeah. there's a great community here. But
right.
When I moved out, Paul Welsh and I like moved out the same week and we were like, let's just go to jams every week mm-hmm. because no one knows us, so no one wants to improvise with us. And it was just kind of like getting those reps in. But also, yeah, it was nice to kind of start over in a new place where you already, like, I'm a new person, but at least I'm, like, pretty good at improv.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
People are like, oh, I like you. Let's hang out. But, yeah, I think it built my confidence in a new, different way. As opposed to when I first got to New York and I was like, I don't know anything. Mm-hmm. I think I'm okay, but who knows? And coming to LA, I was like, well, at least I know I'm good at this. You don't have to know or think so, but, I had that confidence of like built up from New York.
The way I approached it was like it was the most fun thing when I looked at it is like, oh, I'm the new kid in school.
Yeah.
That everyone's like, who's that guy?
Mm-hmm.
And I've experienced it when people show up in New York. I remember when Gary Richardson first showed up in New York. Everyone was like, who's that guy? He's so funny. And he just had the most calm attitude about it. And I think that's what made people respect him in a way. So I just was like, yeah, I'll do whatever jam or show up to whatever show because what I have to lose, you know, obviously. And then like, it's fun to just be like, oh, I can surprise these people a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's really fun. But
yeah, that was my experience also, like, on my first Harold night in L.A.,
mm-hmm.
no one in the audience
Everyone's
had
like,
any
who
idea
who
I was.
Fuck is that? Yeah.
But I had just spent several years on Harold night in New York, and but I did feel like maybe it was me projecting, but I felt like everyone lean in when it was like my turn to say something. And like, who is she? Is she funny?
Yeah.
She got my spot on a team.
And the laugh is like much bigger because everyone's a little surprised and they're like, oh my God,
yeah.
She's fucking
amazing. I remember
amazing.
The first thing I said in a Harold, it was our first group game because I knew I wouldn't get to do a first beat because we had a bunch of brand new babies on our team and they were just losing their minds to do a first beat in a Harold. And so I knew I would be in a group game and, yeah, the audience was delighted by me.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, New York, no one, you know, they were all like, that's just Beth.
Yeah,
and then here they're like,
Beth,
who is this mysterious
years.
Stranger who knows how to do improv? But I do know Alex Berg, when I moved here, was the AD, and he gave me great advice, which was like, do shows at the Clubhouse, which is like the big indie venue out here. It's like the Triple Crown.
I'd
of
say
LA.
It's better than
Triple
Crown.
Than
Triple
Crown.
The Creek in the Cave of LA. What's the equivalent? Is there an equivalent in New York anymore?
No.
Maybe it was the Creek in the Cave.
No, you know what? It's almost like Reckless Theater.
What?
There's
that?
A new theater Christian Capizzoli started.
Oh,
so it's like a small theater like this where they also teach classes. They do a bunch of classes at the Clubhouse too, right?
Yeah, the boot camp.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
They do boot camp.
Boot camp
and
some
other
stuff.
Boot camp, yeah.
Oh,
so it's similar to that.
Like,
so there's a huge community there. And I did a show there last night. I do shows there every once in a while. It's really fun.
Oh, cool. So yeah, Berg was sort of like, go to shows at the Clubhouse. People will see you, think you're funny, ask you to coach their teams. And that was sort of my, that was great for me because also people I met doing shows at the Clubhouse asked me to direct a spank of theirs. And that was the first sketch show I directed in LA.
And then you became a prolific director.
Prolific, beloved.
Great actor of a director.
I'm a very good actor. I'm a very good director.
A great writer, too, Beth.
Oh, my gosh, forget. You guys.
You're so beautiful.
Have you heard me sing?
No, I love it.
Sarah. And so, yeah, do it. Just being, like, willing to, even though, like, I think by the end of my time in New York, I was like, I'm probably not going to do a show at the Creek ever again.
Right. But you jump back into
it. Was, to get,
it was hard to get. It's sort of like stepping back from that when I moved to LA would open things up a lot for me.
Yeah, I had to decide whether or not to audition for Harold Knight, and I think like I got advice from a couple of you guys. I got advice from a few people, and I think it was even Marcy that was just like, I was like, yeah, I have a job. I don't think, because the culture in New York is you get on, you're on Harold Knight, you either quit when you're on it for too long, or you get a job and you quit. So I had a job, and I was like, well, I guess I could just not do Harold Knight. And then Marcy was like, yeah, there are people on Harold Knight that have jobs. Like a ton of people have jobs and it's just not a big deal. And I was like, okay. And I did it and I'm really glad I did, because I'm like, I think I know much more about the community now, and like I've met so many great improvisers and cool people, and I got to be on a great team. So it's like I was lucky to be able, I know I was like, maybe I was on a weekend team in New York, but like coming back and doing, I know a few people have done that. Like I know Marcy came and did Harold Knight here, and like coming back and doing it, I don't know, it's just an interesting experience. I'll also say, and this might be a shots fired, I think the improv in LA is better than New York.
Ooh, that is big time shots fired.
I think it is. Let's
get into it then. Let's talk straight up improv New York versus LA. What's the difference?
I think in New York you can get away with darker comedy. Darker, like in sketch comedy as well. I think I've seen sketch shows come out here and like drop like a 9/11 joke or like super dark, like baby killing jokes that I'm sure kill in New York. And LA's like, no, thank you.
Yeah.
The audience to me is almost less no thank you and more like, as though it happened in real life and not in a sketch
They're
show.
They're just totally
so
scared.
So it'll be like my child died or whatever. You know, just a flippant child death joke. And then the audience is like, oh. And then you want to sort of turn to them and be like, well, not me, Beth.
Yeah.
This character I'm playing and for comedic effect.
Mm-hmm. They're just so used to your good acting.
Might be because my acting is so good, but it might be because of the audience. But they feel like personally really, almost like really empathetic or sympathetic and like attached to the people on stage in a different way.
I'll say like I don't know much about sketch, like quite honestly. I think like I've seen some shows from New York come here, sketch shows, and destroy like those shows. I have no complaint about the sketch in New York. I think the thing I've noticed the most is that, and on a very technical level, I think it has a lot to do with the New York versus LA argument overall, but the baseline reality in scenes in LA is much stronger than in New York.
Like everything people are will establish a
people,
base reality.
I just mean people act more normal in their base realities.
Oh, interesting.
In Los Angeles.
I feel like
not Pam.
What are you talking about?
I think especially on the Harold Knight level, at least from my memory, like I feel like in New York a lot of scenes are starting at such a heightened baseline reality that like finding the unusual thing is difficult. Whereas when I came to New York, I started noticing everyone was framing, everyone was sort of playing the unusual thing, because even the indie shows at like Mess Hall, even like not Mess Hall, but like
Lloyd
at the Inner Sanctum, all the shows I was seeing there, I was just like, wow, the baseline realities are so clear and simple. And I think part of it is like in New York, the opportunity is so much, there's so much less opportunity for jobs and everything in New York that everyone's sort of screaming for attention on stage. And I feel like that was my experience. Like, I think my first experience at UCB was like, yeah, get on stage and be as crazy and loud as possible. And that's how you, like, get through it. And I think, like, that isn't necessarily how it's taught, but it's sort of translated that way. And it's something that I've definitely noticed. I think it's the main difference.
There's also no real such thing as like an improv promotion in LA, right? Like you're not going to move from an Inner Sanctum show and get plucked off that onto a main stage show typically.
Right.
And you're not going to move from a Herald team to a weekend team, which in Los Angeles, there are weekend teams every night of the week.
Yeah, just like
my weekend team is on Tuesdays, as is Pam's and Sarah's, because Sarah and I are on the same team.
Run every team always, forever.
So that won't happen.
Yeah. I think there's something about that culture, too, where in like I was saying, like as you get higher in the ranks in New York, you practice less and you sort of have a more – I think the attitude is like the higher you get up, the less you have to give a shit.
Oh, really?
I've always thought that. And I've been saying that for years. And like I'm
and no
seeing,
one will listen.
No one will listen. But I feel like in LA, it's just so fascinating to me, these people who like have real jobs and like don't need to be doing Herald Knight at all. I think they care a lot. Like,
yes,
I think they
it's
really
for the love
care.
Of it.
Yeah.
Because I think that like I do. I mean, in New York, it's like a caste system.
It is a little
it
bit.
Really is. It's like you're just that is like your goal is to get on like the next thing and then the next thing and the next thing. And some people are just like have day jobs and they just do improv for the love of it and are not like, I'm going to, you know, be an, you know, whatever, have some like, I'm going to be on SNL. And some people are, you know, do think that. But whereas in New York, I mean, in LA, it's like, there's no caste system. It's very like anybody, you know, people are in indie teams that are on TV shows, you know, it's not like, it's not like, it's like, oh, an indie team or whatever, or like, oh, try and get on, you know, like I'm on Herald Knight, I'm hot shit or something, you know, it doesn't matter. And I feel like in that sense too, people are like a little bit nicer,
a little bit,
you know, because it is like, it's, I don't know, it's very non-judgmental.
If you're deciding to do Herald Knight, it's because you really want to do Herald Knight.
You want to do it.
And I think you live and die a little bit more as a team than an individual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you're not like, notice me, notice me, notice me.
Yeah, I think people have, because people have bigger goals outside of Herald Knight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, it's wild to coach someone who's like so much more successful than I am. And I'm like, cool, I'll take your money that you don't even care. Like, mm-hmm. this is just like pocket change for you.
Yeah, I won't, I guess I won't say the name, but truly a very famous comedian. Like, famous actors take classes here all the time, but like a extremely successful and famous comedian just took Improv 101 at UCB, which is awesome.
Yeah.
But like, imagine being in that class, like the stakes would be so different.
So crazy.
Than like in my New York 101 class at Champion Studios,
right.
where everyone was just like,
a receptionist or whatever.
I gotta make it.
But also too, I think like, you know, like the reality, whether if it's like totally crazy, you know, like that, I guess the improv difference, I think. Like, when I first moved here, I thought, like, L.A. is very game-based.
Right.
And very, you know, which is the right way. Which is what we teach. And I do think that, like, New York, like, when I was in New York, it felt very experimental. Like, it was kind of okay that you didn't have a game, or it was kind of okay that it was, like, that was unusual and seemed weird and was like experimental and maybe it wasn't the funniest
thing. I had no idea how to play a game and was on Herald Knight for sure.
Yeah, it was like maybe that wasn't the funniest scene, but it was like weird and
interesting.
It was interesting.
I remember though, Pam, like when you were on Herald Knight and I was watching Herald Knight as a student in New York, those Heralds would be like, some of them would be long.
Yeah.
Because like when you don't hit a game in a scene, it gets long because you're waiting for an edit point. But if there's no game, there's no natural edit point.
Right.
I remember seeing or watching a Herald that was like 32 minutes.
Yeah. Longer sometimes.
That's insane.
Are they, this is so stupid, are the Heralds longer in New York than in LA?
I would
say short here.
I would say they're about the same.
Okay.
I've experienced pretty long Heralds out here. I've been in some and I've also, you know, watched some.
Yeah.
I think it depends on the team. And I'll say, like, I think the game is definitely stronger out here. And, like, you kind of touched on it too, Pam. Like, in New York, the sort of thing that I was talking to Don Finelli about this, like, the benefit of being in New York is they are a lot more experimental, and they will make these discoveries of these new sort of forms or new things that are super exciting. Like, I remember when Doppelganger sort of showed up in New York, they were doing this very crazy fluid show that I don't know if you would see a team come do in LA right now. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I think there is a benefit to the experimental nature in New York, which is very cool. And I think, like, the problem with it sometimes is that it's lacking in game, and that a lot of the stuff I see in L.A. is very strong on game, but a lot of it is just, like, you know,
A little boring, or paint by numbers.
Or just like a little bit more static and a little bit like less fluid and discovery. But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's benefits to both sides of the coast. But I do think like game wise, LA is just stronger. And I think it has something to do with baseline reality. Mostly because I think also in LA, people are living real lives. Whereas in New York, you're living like a maniac all the time. You're on the train. You're like,
this is the energy of my day. I'll just bring it right into my scene.
Like you are totally living like a little troll maniac.
Yeah. When I was first there, I worked at a catering company that didn't have a kitchen. So we would buy food from like existing places and put it into unmarked containers
and then pretend that we made it.
Honestly, like just.
That's insane.
Craigslist. Nightmare jobs.
So that's like your baseline reality.
Exactly. Right. Which makes no sense. It's like going to
insanity.
Whole Foods, buying some pistachio crusted salmon, like 10 pounds of it, carrying it on the subway, transferring it to our branded container, lying to a woman in on the Upper West Side with an elevator in her house.
So when you start a scene, it's like already insane.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
But that's also too, even like Sarah was saying, you could do a 9/11 joke in New York and people are like, we were there,
we saw it, we lived through it.
So it is like okay when it's like I'm drowning my baby. Like in New York it's like ha ha ha. Because you see like the worst stuff constantly like on the street. So you're just like you're kinda like I think people in New York kind of like relish in that
it's
dark
a
humor.
Cathartic.
Yeah. Yeah. Someone pee or worse on the street is like an almost daily
every day.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. And like, whereas here it's like a little bit more like sheltered or something. I don't know.
And there's something cool about like that. I do think like indulging in that and living in that for a few years, I think is great.
I'm so glad I did.
Become obsessed with improv. Live like a rat every day. Go to the theater every night.
First?
I almost said muskrat, but that's not right. But like, I think there has to be a moment where you like look and you're like, well, okay, there's a much bigger world. Like, I need to break out of this bubble.
Although, then just move to another bubble. I mean,
sure, but I do feel like I'm in a much larger bubble than I was. Meaning, like, I'm not. UCB isn't every single day.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
well, it is for me, but I understand.
No, it's your job. But I mean, like, I think I could go days without being at UCB or doing something at UCB and feel normal.
Yeah.
Whereas in New York, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
But you're like obsessed with it when you're in. You like love
it. Which is the best. Mm-hmm.
You need to do that.
You love it.
I remember seeing someone that I loved from the stage at UCB at a grocery store and saying hi as though I knew him.
Yeah.
And then lying and saying I met him at a party. I was so embarrassed.
I met him at a party. Bye.
Because you are so obsessed.
You're obsessed.
The best.
And you love it. And then even like. You know, what Sean was saying about people are like, well, I have to start all over when I go to LA. But it's like, it's not really everything that you did in New York is your experience.
Yeah.
It's what taught you. It's what made you like a better performer, have a great like taste, you know, an amazing sense of humor. All that work that you did and struggling you did immediately transfers
to moving here. Auditioned for Herald Night and like I had done 6 or 7 auditions before.
Yeah.
And like
it was my 7th in LA.
Yeah,
also,
no one takes that away from you. Like you have that experience. But I think once you put the pressure of like, well, I'll never be able to do anything in LA. I have to start over. That's when that negativity starts to spiral. And then you do put the pressure on yourself of like, well, I guess I am starting over.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Some people who never made it on Herald Night or Maude Night like have amazingly successful careers.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So it is like, it's not the be all end all. Like, even, you know, like Paul and Lucia, you know, it's like.
I mean, Paul was on Herald.
Well,
Night
Paul was, but they started doing, like, he started, like, doing his solo show before, I think.
Yeah, it is, again, like, I love that you didn't get on Herald. You, in LA, you did another solo show. Like, that's exactly the right thing to do. Like, well, I'm in LA, I'm going to create my own. Experiences and my own opportunities for myself.
I also think there are people that move from New York to LA that never get success in New York that show up in LA and start people like Oscar Montoya he was never on a team in New York and like even Lacey was in New York and now is in LA. Do you know what I mean? So I think a lot of people are like, well, I've got to make my name in New York before I move to LA. And I'm like, if that's what you want to do, but you don't have to.
Yeah.
You know?
Let, should we end with some odds and ends? Sure. Really specific. Like when I moved here, I noticed that badada was badadada.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then seven things is five things. Yeah. And at the end of someone's five things, you go, these are five things.
Yeah, it's weird.
And what else?
Also, I think in Mind Meld, they count up instead of down. Like we count the opposite way.
Oh, they go here in LA, it's 1, 2, 3. And
I think it's 3, 2, 1. Yeah, yeah. Mm. I do think it's that. Also, the like pointies exercise is called categories here.
Oh,
there's a lot.
Oh,
of
I always called it categories in New York.
It's actually supposed to be called Where the fuck is the celery?
Oh,
yeah,
I know.
I never got why it was called that.
Why this was? Is where the fuck is the celery? Now, don't be offensive.
Oh, wait. Oh, I do have something really funny. So in one of my classes, they were doing all these group games where they were stepping out and just sort of starting a monologue in the group game. And I was like, why are you guys like doing? I was like, you guys have done that like in every Herald we've run in class. And they're like, oh, yeah, it's Pillars of Light. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
I had never heard of Pillars of
you
Light.
You had
what?
It?
I learned that in New York.
So no,
I learned that in New York.
I learned it in New York, but I almost never did it on Herald Night. And in LA, it comes up, I think, a lot.
It does? Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
I taught every level in New York, never even ran past that word ever. I was blown away by when they said it.
Yeah, you got to be like, I'm a teddy bear in a kid's bedroom.
Right.
I was like, hey, never do that. I never want you to do Pillars of Light. Oh, my God. And I think the other thing is that I do think analogous thinking is more prevalent in L.A. than in New York.
I think that's true. Yeah. Time dash in New York, analogous in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
I would agree.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In L.A., they called the Evente a Mobius.
Wow.
I don't know if that they always do now, but like my boyfriend who came up like from the beginning of UCBLA calls it a Mobius.
And it's is it Spokane in New York and Pretty Flower in LA too?
Oh, I was going to say that, yeah, there's a thing called a Pretty Flower. And I'm like, what? I remember I was like, coaching. And they were like, we do a Pretty Flower. And I was like, okay, so how does that work?
I'd never seen it until I moved to LA.
I'd never heard of it before.
It was for sure brought to New York from LA. I saw Bangarang do it at DCM. Then everyone started doing it in New York. And it is called the whatever flower. And I think someone made up the name Spokane. Other people are trying to claim names for it. I won't say any of those names on the podcast.
After the city, it's Spokane.
Yeah, it's just
not Spokane.
It's just
not. It's driving me wild.
I don't know why it's called that.
I want to do an ugly flower.
There's that acting again.
What's the ugly flower form?
It's like everybody does a pillar of light, then collapses and
dies. No.
Everybody does a pillar of light, then collapses and dies. Yeah.
Just over and over pillars of light and everyone dies.
Yeah.
That's the ugly flower. You guys, we invented a new form like you would in New York.
Yay. Yeah.
We're so creative.
Good for us.
I feel like I may have talked too much shit about New York, but I will say
it's only been a year, Sean.
It's only been a year.
Wow. Truly.
I care deeply about the community in New York still. Like I care so much. And if I could give advice to the people in New York, it is 1, stay off Facebook. 2, try to just settle on a more clear baseline reality. Try to act more normal in your scenes. You'll find game stronger. I think that was all I would say to New York.
Yeah. Anyone else have New York advice before?
Sure, I have some New York advice. You know, Jeff Hiller, a good friend of mine, moved back to New York. And when he got there, he was like, nobody knows who you are here. Nobody knows you. I'm like, Pam Murphy? You don't know her? Pam Murphy? And they were like, no, we don't know. We have no idea who that is. So no one remembers me. I've left no mark. The
is
turnover.
Is this leading towards advice?
So look up Pam Murphy.
Go to murphyplease.com. Check out my reel. That's the advice, yeah.
I do feel like, at least when I was coming up through through classes and stuff, like I knew everyone. I knew the names of all the old teams.
Yeah.
I like looked at the improv wiki and no one in LA does that. Like people don't know teams that were alive like
2 years ago, and I was like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, I made Will Hines do a trivia contest at a Herald Night, throwback Herald Night, and no one knew even one thing.
They couldn't name, something
from
a team a year ago.
Yeah.
That is one thing about New York, is they know their fucking history.
They know their history. Mm-hmm. Except, they know everyone except Pam.
They know their history, so if they don't remember something, it's probably because...
Because it was amazing.
That's our L.A. advice. L.A., learn your history, go back to some of those experimental roots. New York, get that based reality popping off.
And I'll say, come DCM. I've heard, and I'm a New York person. I've never done DCM. I guess I have. But apparently the people in L.A. feel like some of the New York people are a little standoffish at DCM. And I want to try to – I'm going this year, so I'm going to try to bridge that gap. We should all hang out. I don't think the L.A. people should not be hanging out with the New York people.
I disagree. Everyone stay separate.
No. Let's all hang. I'm going to try to introduce everyone to everyone else.
I do think it is weird when, we go for DCM and, like, all the L.A. people want to hang out at a bar.
I think that's weird. And let's hang out together.
But there's free drinks. I don't want to pay for drinks. Yeah. There's free drinks somewhere else at the party space.
I think we should all hang out.
Let's all hang out.
Let's all hang out.
Pam, you going to DCM?
No. Well, this is why people don't know who you are.
Thank you for listening. This has been Long Form Conversations Palette Cleanser. I'm Beth Appel. With me today were Sean Distin, Pam Murphy, and Sarah Claspel. And thanks to Zig, the engineer.
Yeah.
You've been listening to the UCB Long Form Conversations podcast on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network. If you like this podcast, please subscribe and review at itunes.com/UCB Comedy. The opinions expressed in this episode are those of the comedians talking and don't necessarily reflect the opinions of UCB Theater or Training Center. Find cutting-edge comedy videos on YouTube and Vimeo at UCB Comedy. Find our live shows at ucbtheater.com and connect with us on social media at UCB Comedy.